Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
UK Tech Weekly Pod, UK Tech Weekly Pod, UK Tech Weekly Pod, UK Tech Weekly Pod, UK Tech Weekly, UK Tech Weekly, UK Tech Weekly. UK Tech Pod. Hello and welcome to this latest cry for help from the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's least squeamish weekly tech podcast, dropping stuff into your brain once a week like a clumsy surgeon. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment moo-moo, worn collectively by the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every Friday, we take the lead role in an audio opera, fighting audio duels, falling in love with audio valkyries, and cursing the audio gods for their audio cruelty in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Please don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK, and today I am delighted to be joined for a chinwag by Phantom of the Opera, Henry Borrell, newly promoted senior staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
I got that right.
You did.
Going Too Fast to Stopra, Lewis Painter, who coincidentally is also newly promoted senior staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
And Do You Want Anything? She's off to the Shopra, Charlotte G. Charlotte
Hi.
G, editor of Techworld.
Hello.
Hello. This week we are talking Sky Mobile, No Man's Sky, and sexy, sexy sexting. Let's go. Henry Borrell, what's Sky up to this week?
Is that too basic?
No, it's okay. We normally complicate things. Sky is finally a mobile provider. It's been a long time coming.
That's exciting.
It is relatively exciting, I think. basically, it's important for some reasons.
Can you tell me those reasons?
Yes, number one reason. It makes it what is known as a quad play provider. So it just means that you could actually just have Sky for your broadband, TV, fixed line phone, if you still have one, and your mobile service.
But so you have to have a fixed line.
You do to in order to have broadband, yeah.
Because I think I have those three previous things.
Because then, so where you have one provider, but then you have a different. Actually, David legendarily doesn't know what mobile network he's on.
But that's good. No, but that's because somebody else pays for it.
I know. But,
wow.
Was that a humble brag?
What did he have to do for... anyway.
Anyway, so basically Sky is now a mobile player, following quickly on the heels of BT, who also done it recently. So BT, for a context, BT was in the mobile game in the early 2000s, then sold BT Cellnet to Telefonica, which is now O2. Mm. And then BT got back in the game by buying EE, because it's got shitloads of cash.
So, Shetland.
I was going to go shed and then...
Then you'd thought... Felt a bit too naughty.
So yeah, so BT's back. And then, but cleverly, BT owns EE, but also has its own mobile network as well called BT Mobile, which it will provide to existing broadband customers. And that's exactly what Sky is trying to do here.
So they sell them as separate products. Like you can buy something from EE, something from BT.
And BT,
so.
Yeah. But with Sky, they are just selling this mobile product to pre-registered customers who will get it in December. So at the moment, you can only get it if you're a Sky customer.
Do they get special rates?
They do. I have not written them down.
Okay.
But they are exceptional.
Yeah. What else are they offering? What gimmicks and features are they going to give
you? They are on O2's network, so they don't have their own network. Okay. They are subsidised O2 frequency. But the coolest thing about it, and something which is a first for UK contracts and SIM-only plans, is you can roll over your data.
Ooh.
Which means if you have like 5 gig a month and you only use 3, that 2 gig in this instance will go onto your online piggy bank. That's what they call it.
And is there a limit to how much your online piggy bank can hold?
I don't know. But I think it did say unlimited rollover for 3 years. So
yeah, but we know what unlimited is like as a word used by broadband providers.
Well, actually, on that point, I noticed that they don't use unlimited minutes and texts in their bump. They say you got free. It's just saying you have free calls as a Sky customer, free texts, and then they just sell it as a data plan. And all the concentration is on this rollover thing, which is quite cool because, I mean, the estimates about how much the UK wastes every year in pounds is insane. It's like billions of pounds
on data
that they technically bought, but then just gets wiped.
I mean, I'm sure that's true. Like, I think I get 4 per gig, and I normally use maybe 3. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not very much.
I have 8 and I have never run out.
No.
So.
Yeah.
What about you?
10.
Oh.
I use about 3.
I was going to say, come down to 4.
Yeah.
But it's not like you've paid for that. It's not like you've gone into a shop and said, how much shall I have? I'll go for 10.
Yeah.
It's just they gave you 10.
Yeah, I mean, debatably, it is still like a marketing ploy to say stuff like this because the price varies massively depending on which contract you buy, which phone you're subsidising. People will pay £35 a month for an iPhone with 1 gig, and some people will pay £35 for a cheaper phone for 8 gig. So,
and when you ring them up and you say you're going to cancel, then they'll give you better deal
anyway. But it's still good. It's good on Sky Mobile's part. It's something that's been happening in the US for a little while. Sprint and T-Mobile in the US already offer rollover data, and it's, I mean, T-Mobile is a very aggressive marketer in that way, and it's done very well.
I guess everyone's fearful that they're going to run out and then get whacked with the charges, which I had recently with 3.
Yeah.
I got 12 text messages in the space of 1 hour while I was in Japan, and I added all the numbers up and it came to over £200
to receive the text.
That was data usage, but that was me switching on my phone at the airport and before like stuff downloading before I had the chance to go to turn off
that's
data.
Nice.
So yeah, that's but I managed to haggle them down to 30 at the moment, but I think nothing eventually.
But just saying that you don't want to pay it, and they're just...
Yeah, well, I was just amazing. Like, well, this is outrageous, so...
This is outrageous.
that is what I said.
This is outrageous.
Yeah,
well, slight side point, but also in the news this week is the news that EU roaming regulations are going to change.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously... we've all mucked that up by voting leave. It's going to be
we'll get it while we're still there.
The collective we.
We might get it, you know.
So last year the whole thing was EU roaming rates would just be banned. You know how you can go abroad and you pay a little subsidy, but you basically get your home tariff abroad in the EU. From June 2017, you won't have that at all. You could technically go anywhere. And
still pay the same.
Pay exactly the same, but... EU's now suggested that, okay, we'll do that, but we will then put a limit on how much data you can actually use. Right. It's because operators need to make their money somewhere.
Yeah. And this is why we're leaving. But we'll surely get that, because technically we're going to still be in the EU for a while. So surely we'll benefit from it.
I think technically we're going to be in the EU for a long time.
I think sure it's possible. Should we debate it? Not right now, but at length, perhaps
not.
Later.
Yeah.
Possibly not. Well, I'm a Sky customer, as I said.
Okay.
What's your advice for me? Should I do this? Is this a good idea?
I mean, I won't go into the... Apart from the fact I didn't write it down, I won't go into the detail about what you can do.
You'll spare me the details.
You can pre-register, and then from early next year, they would start doing phone contracts.
So is it 4G?
It is 4G, okay. Yeah.
Might as well pre-register and see what... So yeah,
can I pre-register and then not do it?
Yeah, of course.
Be a tease.
Probably not.
Surely.
But, I mean...
There must be a backup.
Yeah, if you're a Sky customer and you're coming to the end of a phone contract at the moment, it's definitely worth looking into.
Don't know who does it.
It's a mystery.
Well, for everyone else who pays their bills. it's definitely worth doing. It has some other features as well. So if you're a regular user of a Sky Plus box, you can sync your programs up with your Sky mobile. It will, like, you can pick up where you left off.
My eyes are lighting up.
Yeah, so, I mean, that added functionality is cool, and it's just what big juggernaut providers want to do, like Sky and BT. They want to and eventually just supply you with all your services. And why
this,
some...
this worries me, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if I like the idea of one company providing four, I mean, three.
Yeah, but why not if you're, paying, line, if you're paying the same price as paying, like, three separate providers? Because you can have Sky... You could then you've got like Vodafone, and then you're paying someone else for, I don't know, your broadband maybe.
It's simpler. I can see the attraction of only having one sort of source for the whole lot, one bill. But it would worry me that the idea that if one company goes down, if one company has a technical problem, then they're all going to fail at the same time. And that sort of seems like a bad idea. Like when companies say, we are Thames Water and we're now going to provide your, I don't know, your phone or your telephone or your electrics.
Well, it's easier for companies that already own fixed line assets to introduce a mobile service. It's much harder to do it the other way around. Mm. So Vodafone is a massive company, but I don't personally think it will ever be a quad play provider.
But it's also not very competitive, right? Like if you're a smaller provider, well, that's pretty intimidating.
That is intimidating.
And it's, so I don't know.
Also one of the reasons why the European Commission let BT buy E, but then didn't let Three buy O2.
Yeah, which makes sense because you want to have as many kind of like pure mobile operators as possible because then people have more choice.
Also, though, there is kind of the illusion of choice in the UK market because Sky just uses O2's network.
Yeah.
So does GIFGAF.
In reality, there's probably like only... There's probably four. Like a handful. Yeah, four. There we go.
Yeah.
So, it's, to be exact.
But I mean,
a handful for someone who only has four fingers.
You only have four fingers. One of them, only have a thumb.
Right.
I don't know, is a thumb a finger? I
don't
know. All right, let's talk about people who aren't existing Sky customers.
Right.
Will they be able to do this?
I believe...
Will you be able to get Sky Mobile on its own? And...
I think so, yeah. So, oh, God, my research is...
being exposed for the farce that it is.
Yeah.
What BT Mobile does, and Sky Mobile, I believe, is the same. They offer their SIM-only plans at a discounted rate to existing customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get it if you're not a Sky customer. It will just cost you more.
I mean, it's clearly significantly more attractive if you're an existing customer.
Yeah,
I guess
so
they've
made it very easy for Sky customers to use their service, and then they'll incentivize people to. It would be my gut that people. This is trying to get people to move over to use every single service. There'll be people who are saying, "Oh, I really want Sky Mobile, and that Skybox looks cool. Oh, I'll just get all four. Just cancel everything else.
Cancel everything. I want Sky. Sky a bit? I don't know. I don't actually know that many people these days that still have Sky.
I have Sky.
But why? It's so expensive.
Game of Thrones.
My housemate.
Yeah, but I've watched Game of Thrones and I don't have Sky.
How? Do you steal it?
No.
I didn't think you were going to say yes to that, but you do pirate it. This is shocking.
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked.
Well, that is actually a point. Sky cracks down on, along with other providers, will just block... certain websites now.
Yes. We got a letter from Sky once.
Did you?
Yes, we did. Yes, it's kind of, can you stop
please
doing
stop
that,
visiting
please?
The Silk Road.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. It was just, please stop looking at, stop downloading things illegally, essentially. And we did. But that was an interesting letter, because then you actually realise you sort of are quite blasé, and then you're like, oh no, they actually really are monitoring the network for that. So there we go.
Yeah.
Don't illegally download things.
Unless you use a VPN. I mean.
Just don't. Yeah, that's true. God, yeah, we're a bunch of amateurs. What were we thinking?
God.
We were young, we were foolish. We didn't know better.
There's a Rupert Murdoch factor as well when you're considering this guy. A lot of people politically don't think it's nice to give all your money to that company.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think it will massively change much in terms of the whole landscape. It's just another provider adding
life
a mobile
will go
service.
On.
Yeah.
You know, we'll all cope. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
Lewis, what TV provider do you have?
I don't have it. I just have Freeview. I don't really go for, you know,
well,
live
then
TV
streaming
anymore.
Services.
Yeah, I use streaming services. Yeah. I've got my Apple TV, so anything that I want to watch.
What about Netflix? You've got that.
Netflix, Amazon Prime, all those kind of streaming services. I have them all on my iPad and I'll stream some Apple TV, and that's pretty much my evenings. Between that and gaming, obviously.
Yeah.
And as a side note, Netflix now offers partial offline downloads.
Yes, I am really, really happy about this, because now when I go on a plane, I can watch things on Netflix.
Certain things. Coming.
Not everything.
Not everything.
No.
But
well,
how are they deciding what can be downloaded and what can't?
I presume it's to do with licensing.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of popular. You can browse.
Yeah.
Can you download Rick and Morty? That's the main question.
Oh, yes.
That's a good question.
Rick and Morty
that, yeah.
is.
I watched two episodes of that last
night.
So good.
Oh, my God. Rick and Morty is amazing. I've watched all of it. And I love it. In fact, I've watched all of it possibly more than once.
I fear
that we're wandering off the
yeah,
point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take it back to school.
Watch Rick and Morty, dear listener.
Oh, you really should. Maybe we should go around the room then. And the question is Sky Mobile or Sky Nobile? I was thinking if I say why Nobile, but I thought that was too much.
Sounds a bit like Nubile. But anyway,
I like the word Nubile. Lewis Painter.
I go with Sky Mobile.
Yeah. Charlotte G.
Sky Nobile.
Ooh. And you have the casting vote, Henry Burrell.
Yeah, Sky Mobile is what it is.
Brilliant.
Deep, insightful.
Strongest
endorsement I've ever heard. I'm going to say Sky Mobile as well, because I think it sounds good.
Stooges.
Whatever. We're going to have a short break now. And after we come back, we will talk about games. Ooh. From Sky Mobile to Sky Hostile. Hostile. Lewis
Painter. I'm weak.
It's the material of this thing I'm working with. Lewis Painter, why is everybody so angry about No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky. This ordeal has been going on since August, but it's finally looks like it's been resolved. Basically, No Man's Sky had an insane amount of hype before it came out because it was procedurally generated universe that would, in theory, take thousands of years to explore and see every single planet.
Like billions of years, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was just mathematically absurd.
Yeah, you're never going to visit all the planets. It's just, stop, don't even bother.
don't even play it, basically.
Just don't, just why? Why? Mm-hmm. So obviously before launch, Hello Games, the developers were showcasing gameplay clips and stuff like that. And it all looked really fun. It looked, the planets looked alive and they'd have lots of plants, lots of animals, and they're all kind of intelligent. They're not kind of stupid, NPCs that you just wander around a planet.
Yeah.
They're supposed to kind of interact with you and stuff
like
that.
They were like walking around in herds and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah.
And, doing realistic behavior.
Yeah. Mm. And then the game came out and it just was not like that in the slightest. I mean, I can kind of agree with this because when I got the game, I must have played for about 9 hours and I never hit any kind of planet that looked remotely like the ones that were shown off in the in the trailers before it came out. Mm. And on the especially on the Steam listing on for PC users, there was a lot of marketing material, like videos and screenshots, that were just completely different to what was actually in the game when it came out.
Cheeky.
So
very cheeky.
People complained
today at the ASA, and they've been looking into it since September.
That's the Advertising Standards Authority.
That is. Yeah, well done. And they've finally come out with their verdict, and they say that Hello Games did not mislead the consumers.
So
really?
How is this different to, when you see game adverts on telly?
Yeah.
And you have that little thing at the bottom that says, not actual game footage.
Oh, yeah.
So are we saying here that...
They didn't say that.
They always implied
that
it was footage.
I mean,
they led consumers to believe... Well, this is what the gamers felt, that they led them to believe that that's what's going to be in the game. And Hello Games' defense was that as it's procedurally generated, it's impossible to recreate the exact scenes that you'll see in a gameplay trailer, because obviously the universe is so massive, everyone starts a different place. You're never going to get to that planet.
Yeah, this is the heart of this matter is the procedural generation.
Yeah,
and if you read the ruling, then essentially what seems to have happened is that Hello Games said to them, "Well, it's procedurally generated," and they just took that on trust and totally bought that and didn't really seem to engage on a technical level with what that means, how much of the game is procedurally generated. Not all of it is.
No.
And there are sort of fundamental aspects of gameplay that are not procedurally generated. They're just part of the game and that were shown in the trailers and don't actually happen. There's a bit where you're flying around on a planet, and that's, as I haven't played it, but as I understand it, that's not part of the game. They just didn't put
it
in.
It's kind of half and half. They show you flying quite low, close to the surface of the planet, and in the actual game, they don't allow you to fly very close to the planet until you land. It keeps you kind of 40, 50 feet above the ground for safety, so you don't crash into the planet. But there was
I want to
like
crash
that.
Into the planet.
Exactly.
I should have the right to do that.
I should. Yeah, I want to plummet to my death. Why not?
So the question then is it fair to say that it's procedurally generated, the chances of this space Brontosaurus, which looks really cool, actually appearing, obviously is low.
Yeah.
All I know about this game.
Space
every time it says that, I just think of a Brontosaurus.
Yeah. Exactly, that's how the image works.
That is pretty much the dinosaur that everyone's talking about that nobody has seen in the game, but was all over the trailers. I mean, they
and what sort of creatures do you see in the game?
They're really weird. You know, there's no way to describe them because there are, you know, an insane
he
amount.
He showed
of...
me one that just looks like a throat with legs.
It's really scary. Honestly, some of them, good you just look at him like, how would they...
I think I dated somebody like that.
Oh my God. Jesus.
We might have to cut that bit out. That was ruder than I expected.
Yeah, it was.
We're going to have to cut that bit out.
Leave it in.
Whoever's editing this, take that bit out.
Oh, my God.
I completely forgot what I was saying there.
I think we were talking about a randomised space monster. Yeah. Throat with legs.
I mean, there was one.
No, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, one animal, dinosaur, I don't know what even to call them, on a planet that I saw, it had kind of the body of a llama, and it didn't have a neck, it had a flower. Yeah. As a neck, mm-hmm. And it didn't have a face or a head. It just made a trumpet noise, and it chased after you.
Doesn't sound like
that scared the absolute crap out of me. And
it
I ran
sounds
away.
Like why don't people just like take hallucinogenic drugs? It sounds like a similar experience.
I think that's illegal, Charles. I know the law is just like advice to you.
Yeah,
Charlotte sits at home taking acid, illegally downloading.
That's me. That's what I like. That's how I like to unwind.
She doesn't.
I don't. No. Sorry, Mum.
An analogy I've heard about this game is that what if somebody advertised a game that was about Lego, and the nature of the game was that there was a million pieces and then they formed into a random shape and then you play with that shape. And then in the advert they showed it formed into like a rocket or, you know, and then they said, well, that could have happened. You know, it's just the chances were a million to one. So in this case, you've got the space Brontosaurus and... nobody's seen it, and they're like, well, you could have seen it.
You just can't take any of this seriously. Like, why don't these people get annoyed about something that actually matters? Like, imagine if these people, like, engaged in, I don't know, the world.
I think this is whataboutery, isn't it? That you're
yeah,
engaging
it, it
in
is. It is. I mean, maybe
it's
actually,
possible just to be annoyed about somebody true. Selling you something for 40 euros and it not being very good.
True. Maybe it's safer.
How much did it cost in pounds?
That's about the same.
Well, it's pretty much parity now. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's safer for them to worry about this than other things.
Do you think what happened is that they created these trailers apart from the engine that runs the game, and they were just like doing it on a computer?
See, this is how they've got away with the ASA not ruling against them. Is because they say they've proven apparently that they did render all the stuff in game, and it was all done in game, and there wasn't any, because they were saying that another issue was when jumping from galaxy to galaxy. It takes a long time, essentially, on consoles. And in the gameplay clips, it takes like 1, 2, 3 seconds to render in a whole, solar system.
Is it putting people off playing the game?
Yeah, I think after the initial bad press back in August, nobody's played it since.
Oh, really?
And then the developers went really quiet because they were trying to fix all the bugs they came out with. And that was until last week when Sean Murray, the MD, I think he is, of Hello Games, tweeted for the first time since the 18th of August about the game to announce that there was this huge patch coming to PS4 and PC to lay the foundations for things to come. Because they've always promised that there's going to be free content available once it was out. That was just the base game, kind of like Minecraft, and they keep on adding stuff to it as time went on. But everyone was kind of a bit like, well, who cares?
Yeah.
You've lied to us.
Aww.
Do you think they were just a bit out of their depth? Because they were a game developer hadn't really had
a massive it's a little indie.
Yeah, the game they made before this was Joe Danger, which is like a tiny little motorbite racing game.
That's what they just gave the big one and promised everything and then suddenly got this publicity. And it took 2 years to make because they were like, oh crap, we can't actually do that.
I think it's in part Sony's fault because, Sony had them up at so many of their conferences, their shows and stuff like that, showcasing more gameplay. And they fed,
the hype.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So I kind of think they're in part to blame for the whole thing. But
it's worked. That's the thing.
Oh,
because of pre-order culture, this game has made loads and loads and loads of money.
But it also had to give loads and loads and loads of it back via refunds from the PlayStation Store and Steam,
I bet they still done well out of it, though. Because you make that many sales, some people aren't going to sell it back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I kept it.
This happens with other games, though, right?
Not on this scale, I wouldn't say. This is pretty dramatic. Usually you see kind of early gameplay clips from like betas and stuff like that, and it will change from then to release gameplay. But to keep, this is the equivalent of someone doing like an early beta gameplay trailer, putting that up on a Steam list and being like, that's exactly what it is, and it's not.
And the things are still on the Steam page, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're still on there.
They
yeah.
haven't, which I think is absolute brass neck.
Yeah.
They haven't even taken.
It's because they've
there.
Changed the. They've changed the heads up display, and they've changed a few cosmetic elements in the game, and the ASA ruled that that isn't change enough to warrant them misleading consumers.
Unbelievable.
So yeah.
Very naughty.
You want to hear the best review of this game I've seen?
Yep.
Go for it.
No Man's Sky, one man's lie, please don't buy.
that's beautiful.
Poetic.
Yeah, that's lovely.
That's great.
But the key thing here, actually, is that you should read reviews. Maybe not reviews that are as small as that. But
is this weird because it happens in other parts of culture, but it doesn't really happen.
Yeah,
in
movies. Absolutely, yeah. Movies. Everybody goes see the movie on the opening weekend.
Like that Suicide Squad film. All the trailers had Jared Leto front and centre as the Joker.
Yeah.
And then when the film actually came out, they basically cut him out of it, and even he didn't know.
What?
Yeah, so he recorded hours and hours of footage and everything, and he was in the trailer, and they used him all for the promo. And in the actual film, he has about 3 minutes of screen time or something.
You're kidding me.
That's mental. Yeah,
he's the main character.
No, exactly.
That's the impression
not,
it would give
he's not. Even he was like, oh my God, I'm not in this film.
That's terrible.
Terrence Malick did it as well to Adrian Brody in The Thin Red Line.
Oof.
Recorded hours and hours of footage and led Adrian Brody to believe that
he
would be the main character. And in the film, he has about 30 Adrian. Seconds of...
That is quite funny.
Yeah, so it happens. And then, like, when bands have crap second albums, because they did an absolute banger, and then you wait ages for the...
An absolute banger.
Like, I don't know, can't think of an example now. Stone Roses, there you go.
Okay. Absolute banger.
Then the second one, rubbish.
I actually listened to the second album before I listened to the first one, because...
Yeah, well, Love Spreads is a big tune, actually.
I like Love Spread. Yeah. Right, though, the moral of the story then is don't pre-order, listen to reviews, and please don't buy, I guess.
Heed them.
Let's go around the room. Last question. ASA or ASA? Lewis Painter.
ASA?
Charlotte G.
ASA?
Which one was that?
That one. That was clearly the second one.
And Henry Burrell.
ASA?
ASA?
I think we all agree on that one.
Yeah,
that's very confusing.
I don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Absolutely. Let's have another break, and after that we're going to talk about sexy, sexy, sexting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Charlotte G, what's wrong with being sexy?
Nothing at all. However, according to the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, social media companies...
Very, very carefully.
Very carefully said... social media companies should stop under 18s from texting sexually explicit images as if they're texting them to each other. But anyway, but yes, this is just a very... This
Get
is another
program, Grandma.
I know. God. This is... it's just a kind of another example in the very long litany of politicians outing themselves as having not a clue what they're talking about when it comes to tech. And right, in his particular case... Pretty much everything.
Yeah, how's he suggesting he stops people messaging?
Well, he said, actually, I'll tell you what he said.
Please
and
do.
I quote, "I just ask myself the simple question as to why it is that you can't prevent the texting of sexually explicit images by people under the age of 18, because there is technology that can identify sexually explicit pictures and prevent it being transmitted."
Transmitted images.
But also,
I think sexually explicit transmitted images.
Yes,
settees.
Yeah,
settees.
But there isn't that technology.
Well, there kind of is. But well, it's just not very reliable.
Yeah, there's technology that can identify whether an image is sexually explicit, although it might say that like a Rubens painting is. Although they are kind of.
I mean,
like,
highbrow reference.
But I mean, I don't know. There isn't any technology out there that can identify and block these images without a lot of human beings being involved, because it wouldn't work basically.
Yeah.
And also, why under 18? Because can have sex from the age of 16. So
there's lots of aspects of this we need to unpack. Let's start off technologically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Encryption is an issue, because as you said, most kids, is that making me sound about 45?
Under 18s.
Most most
teens.
I'm not 45.
Teens.
Most teens are not using text. They're using, let's start off with Snapchat. WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp has end-to-end encryption.
The Snapchat.
Yes.
So nobody is going to be able
Facebook Messenger doesn't.
No, Facebook Messenger.
You have to use a special mode on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, no one
But we can't
there.
Seriously yeah, no. be considering this. I mean, it's just, it's
I know,
just
I know,
ridiculous.
But you know, first of all, let's all mock Jeremy Hunt's lack of technological knowledge.
Yes.
So there's a range of different messenger services, some of which have encryption, some of which have optional encryption, some have no encryption. And the difference between those things means that some will be able to be interrogated by image.
Yeah, some of them you can see the content of,
and some of them
you can't. Yeah.
So immediately, it's not going to be a law that you'll be able to apply universally.
No.
And the second half of it is technologically, he's not even attempted to come with a solution. He's just said,
it exists.
Tech people are smart. They can fix this for me.
Yeah. I mean,
which is not the way you want politicians to be approaching tech. You want them to know what they're doing before they legislate it. Otherwise, they're essentially just putting things in the hands of tech companies.
Yeah, and tech companies, I mean, you can't come up with a technological solution to a social problem. Well, if it isn't indeed as much of a problem. I don't know, maybe it is a problem, but under 18, I don't really see why it's any of the government's business of 17-year-olds.
So now we have the legal element of this, which is that over the age of 16, you can have sex.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that in Alan's face, but you can have sex after the age of 16, you can get married after the age of 16,
you can join
the army and die for your country, whatever, but you can't write a text about it to somebody.
You could be
actually having sex with somebody, and if you took a photograph of it and texted them while you were having sex, that would be the crime, not the having sex.
In fairness, that is a very odd thing to do, but I suppose so.
Sort of bending over backwards to come up with a.
So to speak.
Oh dear.
And ethically, as you said,
it's very
murky.
It is.
there's a large element of people sexting not because they're being antisocial or rebellious, but because that's the best way for them to explore
their
sexuality.
I think because he's come out and said this about the technological side of things, he's kind of written the wrong headline. It should still be a concern if people who are under 16 are sending explicit messages or pictures to each other. I think the point that I thought the whole story would be about is that it was unwanted by some of those parties.
Yes.
But the story has become Jeremy Hunt's an idiot because he thinks he can block dick pics. I think there is more of a concern about kids who are seeing these images when they don't want to or they don't understand what it means.
And also bullying. I mean,
To be fair, he did talk about cyberbullying.
That's ridiculous because you can't. You won't be able to get kind of like word pattern recognition. Like words have context and you can't really. I think the problem, I was actually chatting with my flatmate's other half last night, and she is a teacher. And she said that rather than come up with all these technological solutions that may or may not actually work, why don't they just do sex education better?
He was going to say that.
She said they don't do any real teaching of, I don't know, things like consent or like safety or so on and so forth. Yeah. So I don't know.
I think I had one day in a citizenship lesson while I was in school where they told me about sex ed and all that kind of stuff.
We put a condom on a banana.
But that was about the extent of it for me.
She said basically they just tell them about gonorrhea and then go, oh, no. And then they give them some condoms, which is a really mixed message. So we do or we don't. What
but the condoms are useful in preventing the gonorrhea.
Yes, I mean, the condoms are a good idea, but the kind of going, oh, gonorrhea, probably isn't very useful.
Well, unless you're a doctor.
I mean, tell them that these things exist, but the sex education shouldn't just be, oh, God, sex is terrible.
And it's also kind of like saying that the problem is down to children themselves. But really the problem is that they own these devices that open up a world of different content to them. Like, I didn't see half the things these kids were seeing that early an age.
I mean, there's another thing as well that the government are trying to push at the moment, which I think I also find slightly misguided and a little bit authoritarian, which is they want to filter porn sites, and they also want to ban non-conventional pornography, as they call it.
This is a load of rubbish, because they were saying that, like, gay sex was unconventional a few years ago, and then so what is unconventional?
Well, apparently it's BDSM and female ejaculation are unconventional.
David told me that already.
It's a bit sexist though, isn't it?
Menstruation.
Yeah, like, why is that unconventional?
What do they mean unconventional?
And also, like, I'll just get over it. I don't know, why is that the government? Why are the government trying to? Yeah,
well, it's all political though, because you can trace all of these measures, all of these proposals back to the
Daily Mail mums.
Well, yeah, they're appealing to the people that vote. They're appealing to the people who are middle-aged. And they don't care about, you know, minority groups or young people.
I'm starting to think we should have a cut-off age for voting, an upper limit. Like, you know, you can't vote now.
Like when
you
see your driving test again when you get to 70.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're only making things worse for everyone else. So
you know,
you
said that they were being authoritarian.
This might be a bit of a sweeping statement, but...
I love statements to start with that.
Go on.
This is an example of what Jeremy Hunt is saying. It just makes me think that politicians probably don't actually really use computers.
Yeah, no, they don't. No. They have people that do it for them.
People do it for them.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote something a year ago, and it was basically about how lots of politicians are clueless. And also, even worse, they are unconsciously incompetent, so they don't even realise how ignorant they are. And the interesting thing is, we were having a bit of a debate about this yesterday, and a lot of people are saying it's age, but I actually think it's partly to do with the social circles that they come from as well. And also the fact they have people that they delegate everything to. Mm. So I don't know. Some ministers
are... There must have been a point before they had people doing stuff for them. I mean, unless it's like George Osborne and they were literally born in a country manor with a butler.
Yeah.
But that's not true of most politicians, is it?
No.
I mean, Jeremy Hunt must have used a computer at some point in his life.
Yeah.
Like my mum doesn't use computers very often, but she knows more than Jeremy Hunt does because she's taken the trouble to think about it.
Reason,
I reckon your mum would do a better job as health secretary.
I think she would too.
Come on, let's start the campaign.
She's a bit busy though.
So. Oh, really?
I don't know if she can fit it in.
Oh, okay, all right.
She has to ring me up and ask me about her grandkids. That's important.
Okay.
Who was this girlfriend you had? What are you talking about?
Are you trying to do a callback so that we can't edit out the previous
bit? I don't want us to talk about this girlfriend. I'm already harrowed enough.
That was just a joke.
It was a hilarious joke, which we didn't cut out of this podcast.
I think we all know
confused because it has been cut out.
So, Charlotte, what's going to happen?
Probably nothing. They probably will have to...
It's just a proposal, isn't it?
Yeah, they probably won't actually... Well, they're not going to be able to, even if they want to. But the porn sites thing, I guess they might try. Problem is that internet filters are very kind of ineffective, basically. People will get around them, and also they don't tend to work really on their own terms because, I don't know, like, what's the search? Are you going to get exactly the right search terms and ban those? And I don't know. So it's
like when you see those lists, like... our dev team have a blocker list for the comments.
Yes.
That's the funniest email
I've ever received. It's so funny. It's all like rude words and then slight variations on rude words, and it's incredibly difficult to block them all.
Yes, it is. And it sort of seems a bit silly. And to be honest, I just don't know. With some of the things that they're trying to do, I'm not really sure that I can even see the underlying logic. Maybe they have no idea what they're doing.
Well, maybe here's a more frightening thought.
Hot take.
Maybe they know exactly what they're doing, and what they're doing is using... hot button issues, sex, or the protection of children, as a means of justifying breaking down security, dismantling encryption.
Which they have done.
A massive weakening of our security by the back door, which is how somebody described it. And that's what they're really after. They want to surveil what's on our phones. And then they say things like, well, you have to check you haven't got, as you said, dick pics that you're sending to people. And then we're actually going to look at everything you've been looking at.
Which they now can.
Of course they can.
Because,
they don't really need.
Yeah, and it's great. They've created a massive database of everyone's browsing history, which definitely will not be hacked into at any point. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, this has turned a bit...
It's turned a bit grim, I'm sorry.
It's turned a bit grim. Well, let's go around the room, try and cheer everybody up. The question is, Hunt or complete idiot. Lewis Painter.
Complete idiot.
Charlotte G.
Complete idiot.
And I'm really pleased we didn't say that word. Henry Burrell.
Complete idiot.
I'm also going to say complete idiot.
Yeah.
And with that, bit of personal abuse for the health secretary of this country, I will call this to a close and say thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast. Feel free to get in touch and let us know your thoughts and opinions to Shake Us Down for Cash or to ask us about advertising. You can tweet us on any of those topics using the handle at UK Tech Podcast, or you can email us on editor@idg.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed and hopefully less explicit opinion on the hottest topics in tech. If that sounds like something you'd like, find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud and various other podcast sources. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like us and tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.